Let's go ahead and get started this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, the Bible says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation and the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. And that's what I want to talk to you today about. I believe the idea of this power, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. I believe in a power that is available to you. I believe that you are a being that has been given some powers. I believe in a sense that we don't even use these powers very often. In fact, most of the time, we operate with the human mind of doubt and not even able to bring up a good curiosity. But I want you to understand that when God saved you, there should be some things in a human being. And one of them is, let me read that verse one more time because I want you to get the emphasis of what He's saying. He's praying to these Ephesians. What Ephesians are these? This is the second group of Ephesians, basically, who He's writing to, even though it's written to both groups. It is primarily to this. The other group had had some wisdom. They'd already been given some of that when Paul had taught them in Ephesus in his missionary journeys. But these people, he's asking that the eyes of their understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what is the riches of His glory and His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. The same power that God used to raise the dead is working in us. I love what He says, the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. That's powerful. The exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. Now that power isn't obviously in someone who doesn't, right? The non-believer doesn't have that power. There's power in the believer. Part of that power has to do with knowledge. Part of that power has to do with knowledge. I think about as you think of intelligence. The more intelligent you are, and I'm going to use it in the sense of a lawyer or a doctor, and I'm even going to go a little bit further. The more knowledge you have, the more power and control you have. For example, a family practitioner, how many doctors are family practitioners?
Thousand,
just lots of them. But then they go and get a fellowship in cardiology, and they become a cardiologist. Couldn't they still be a family practitioner? They could, but now they've got a power that exceeds that in the sense that they can do something that someone else can't do. You all understand? And then a cardiologist, they're a cardiologist, and then there's heart transplant cardiologists. You know, not all cardiologists perhaps can do transplants. You know? So there is a power that's working in us that is absolutely incredible when you think about it, and it has to do with the knowledge of the Word of God. It has to do with that which God is working in us. How did He raise Christ from the dead? He rose Him by His Word. He shouted up, man, Jesus came out of that thing. He resurrected. It had to do with the authority of the Word. And I don't know if you've ever had a chance to sit down with someone who's, quote, religious but doesn't know any Bible. And boy, you start whipping out that Bible and you start showing the verses. Man, let me tell you, all of a sudden you got some power that they don't have. There's people in here, I'll guarantee you can run a lot of the preachers out there around in a circle. Why? Because there's a power that's working in you that God has put there. Go to Galatians, back up one book. Go to Galatians, Galatians chapter 5. I love Paul in the sense that he has no confidence in his flesh. But he says this, verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh and the affections and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." The idea being in the passage is that we're to walk in the Spirit. Well, folks, you can't walk in the flesh of your own, the vanity of your own mind, and walk in the Spirit at the same time. You're either walking according to the Word of God or you're walking according to that of your own mind. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, he says, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall" what? direct thy path. That's the power. You don't have to worry. You know, I don't think that Paul got locked up there in Philippi in the jail and he started going, oh, I wonder what God's up to. Or when he got into Rome and he was in his own hired house for 2 years. You think Paul said, boy, I wonder what God is up to? There's a peace and understanding with the power of God, knowing that whatever happens in your life is going to work out for your good. Just chill out. Say, well, my husband died. It doesn't matter. Child died. Doesn't matter. Listen, God is involved here. You know, God is working in the believer. He's put a power in the believer. Now, he didn't put it in the non-believer. He put it in the believer, and that is so that we can do the will of God, even though it feels... I mean, sometimes we feel like we ought to have better speech. Or listen, when I first started preaching, I could hardly read. I was a college graduate, and let me tell you, I was functioning illiterate. Say, how'd you do that? I was smart enough to go find women who could write papers really well. Now, you say, well, how's that? Well, Henry Ford ran a billion-dollar company and couldn't even read or write. Say, how's that? Well, we're smart enough to go get the right people. They asked him some question that they knew he couldn't answer because he was functioning illiterate. And he told one of his cronies, say, hey, go find the answer out to that question. And he came back and gave him the answer. And he said, well, you're not very smart. They were trying to catch him. And he says, I don't have to pee. I pay PhDs to be smart for me. You see, Christians don't have to be smart, thank God. Preachers don't have to be the most intelligent. They have to be faithful to the Word. See, the problem is people want to be smart today. That's why preachers are having degrees in whatever, is they want to impress you with them. I don't want to impress you with me. Listen, Paul made some great statements. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and then read a little bit in 2. I want you to see that Paul, in his ministry, didn't depend upon, even though he had studied at the feet of Gamaliel and probably was a very intelligent human being. He did not depend upon his intelligentsia to impress people. He used what God told him to use, and that's where the power comes from. The power is doing and speaking what God said in His Word. That's where the power comes in. Let me tell you what, when you're bold enough to mention what is really true in the Word of God, let me tell you, people will be astonished. I remember after I got saved and I started witnessing to all my friends in college, my senior year in college, and I went around carrying my Bible and stuff, and let me tell you, eventually they wouldn't come near me because I was going to swing the sword. I wanted them to get saved. I wanted them to understand the truth. I lost a lot of friends. Well, they weren't really friends. I mean, yeah, you know, they were interested in the party animal Barry. When Barry finally got to where he got his eyes and head out of the muck of life and could look above all the junk he'd been doing all that time, he realized there was a God. And that God had come to this earth and died on a cross, on Calvary's cross, so that I could have eternal life. And I received that eternal life. Let me tell you what, I didn't want to go back to the muck that I was out of. I was having an interesting conversation with my brother. And he brought up the fact that when I was young, I did stupid and foolish things. We were talking about my daughter's wedding, and you just got to let them make the mistake. And I said, that's true. I don't mind kids making mistakes. Kids are going to make mistakes. But the difference between her and I is when I was making those mistakes, I was lost. She's claiming the name of Christ. When you make mistakes based upon that and your self-willed, it's a lot different. In fact, Paul says, I did my sin ignorantly and in unbelief. That's one thing when you're ignorant and you do a sin in unbelief. It's another thing when you know what the will of God is and you don't do it. You understand? That's just rebellion. And you got to understand that. Listen, I wasn't rebellion. I was just living in the flesh. You see, the power is once you have that, I'm not saying that you can live above sin. God never told you to live above sin. He said He took your sin away from, but He did tell you to follow the Apostle Paul. He did tell you to do certain things. Love your wife, even as Christ loved the church. He told you things to do. Amen. I mean, those are things you can do. He never said, Stan, come on, you need to straighten out your life and live sinless for me. Hey, listen, the person behind this pulpit this morning is a sinful human being. He has sinful thoughts. He has problems in the flesh. What he does is he keeps getting up and preaching the Word of God. That's the power. The power is not to give up just because you're... Hey, come on, all of us have faults and problems. If we let those faults and problems stop us, we're just operating in the flesh. Look at what Paul said. I love this. I'm going to start in 18 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." So where does that central power come from? From the cross. From God. From the cross. Hey, listen. Notice that he said, a power for them that what? Believe. Back there where we were reading in Ephesians. Why? Hey, if you don't have the blood of Christ, you don't have any power. You can have all the facts. Are there people that have religious facts? Yeah, the Bible says they're ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I mean, listen, having the facts isn't about being a Christian. Having the facts, listen to me, very careful. Having the facts, listen, the Pope can have some facts. An atheist can have some facts. But only those that are saved have this power. Will this power allow you to live a sinless life? But this power will allow you to do what it is God's called you to do. Look what he said. "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? "Hath not God made foolishness the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that what?
Believe."
Wow. "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Did you get that? Boy, that's powerful, isn't it? "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men..." Aren't you glad it didn't say not many, so you could be included? "Not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The abased things of the world and the things which are despised of God chosen." Well, then tell me, why would the power... Why did he choose Israel? The Bible says because they were few in numbers. You know, if they were a strong nation, what deal would that have done? Listen, God chose you based upon your weakness. God chose you based upon your frailties. God chose you. Why? So his power might be of him and not of you. That's why God chose. Verse 28 again. "And the base things of the world and the things which are despised have God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are." For what reason? "That no flesh should glory in his presence." Listen, you ain't going to be able to say, "Hey, I even had my own power." That's not how it works, folks. When you become a Christian, you basically surrender your power for that power which he provides through the blood of Christ. There is power, power, wondering, working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wondering, working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. You notice, that's where the power is. The power isn't in you. I mean, it's in you, but it isn't of you. God gave you that power, just like he gave you the hope, and just like he gave you the inheritance, and just like he did all those things, God did it. I mean, boy, religion has gotten so to the point that it's all about the person and the thing and what they're doing and how they're done, and on, until the point they missed the point that God had done it all. I mean, they get up and sing it, "Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but confession has..." You see? Or "walking me out, wash me white as clay." I mean, that's what they're preaching. They're telling you on one side Jesus paid it all, but the next one you got to get out of your seat and come down and get cleared up through the altar. The power is the fact that you haven't done anything. The power is that you've lost yourself in this. That you don't have confidence in the flesh. You have confidence in the flesh, you're very far away from the power. Confidence in the flesh is what lost people do. "Well, I've studied the Bible well enough. I've sung well enough. I've given plenty of money to the church." That's what lost people do. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at Paul. He didn't depend upon his power in the sense to bring forth that which he thought was great. In fact, his very first statement after that in chapter 2 verse 1 says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." I had it. I could have come with wisdom. But I'm telling you, I didn't come with that wisdom. I didn't come in that sense that you might glory in me. I didn't want you to glory in me. Preachers today want you to glory in them. They want the glory. Even in the grace movement, there's glory hogs. Don't be a glory hog. This has never been about me or about you or about anyone else. He says, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. I didn't try to find the eloquent words that would sway you in some fashion. Listen, I can tell you stories that would cause your heart to be stirred inside of you. I could tell you stories that would make you cry. I could tell you stories with words. I could just literally read them and cause them to be emotionally stirred within you. And that's not where the power is. Listen, let me tell you what. You want the power of God? Deny yourself. I loved Michelle when she first started coming. She said, Pastor, you're not that bad. Yes, Pastor is. I loved her for saying that. She's sweet. But the problem was she didn't know me at the time. Now she'd say, Pastor, you're just lucky God would even die on the cross for you. Amen. Because that wouldn't be the truth of it. See, the problem is when the regular preaching goes, they're telling you about how good you are, how you can keep the commandments, and how great of things you can do. When the power of God is when you can finally admit before men, hey, I'm a worthless piece of junk. Say that. But God saved me because I had faith in His Son. Man, that's the whole story. Religion's trying to tell you repent, you get this straight, you. Hey, it isn't about me. It's about what God did through His Son, Jesus Christ. We talk about grace and then we want to mix it up. That's what religion's been doing and now they don't even mix it up. They come with fancy words and enticing words of man's wisdom, but not Paul. He didn't use those wisdom. Why? He wanted it to be of God. Verse 5, he says, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Wow. That's powerful, isn't it? Go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Well, go back to 3. I just want to pick up one verse. You see, people, I believe that you have a power within you. You have to study to enhance that power. That power comes through the words of God. The power comes through the preaching of the cross. The power has to do with the cross and the blood and the finished work. The power is not about how great a person you are or what you're doing for this church. It's about what God has done for you through the blood of Christ. Verse 12, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 12. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use such enticing words of great speeches. No, we don't have to impress people with our words. We just use great plainness of speech. You see, when was it that you really got to the point that you realized it had nothing to do with you? See, I believed all my life growing up in a Methodist church that God was going to put my good on one side and my bad on the other and weigh it out. I believed that. I believed that with all my heart. But the 24th of August, 1983, I quit believing that. I junked that. That philosophy went out. I trusted what Christ did at Calvary's cross, and I know what I trusted and whom I trusted and where I was when I trusted, and I know what it was that saved me. You see, it wasn't a matter of whether I should perform correctly or not. I knew that what saved me was the blood of Christ. When was there a time when you got saved? Once you get saved, you have the power. You don't have to rely on impressing us. I remember trying to impress. Listen to me very carefully. When I went to Brother Moore's church, I tried to impress them how much I was a Christian. And you know, the further I tried to impress them with me, the more they knew where I was. I thought about when we had 88 reasons why the rapture was in 88. We were meeting over at Perry Hill Free Will Baptist Church. I had 20 people come up to me, tried to convince me of their salvation. Now listen, you don't have to convince me. Either you're saved or you're not. But let me tell you, they tried to prove to me the things they were doing were good. I had one lady tried to grab an article out of her Sunday school and telling me when she got saved. You know what? I believe that person was still lost. I listened to Archie Adams. He would we'd go out to eat just like we always do after church, you know. And he wanted to pray. And so I said, okay. I wouldn't do that now, but back then I thought it was okay to be, you know, exposed. When you read Matthew chapter 5 and 6 and you think it's okay to pray something out loud, you know, it's kind of hypocritical. But anyway, We'd get to praying, and he'd say, Lord, forgive me of all my sins. And he did that two or three times. No, I know, but I mean after that I started really noticing what, and I started listening, what, and I'm thinking, he's lost. See, listen, let me tell you, the lost mind can't produce the power of Christ. They're going to put the emphasis on self. They're going to put the emphasis on, I repented, I walked the aisle, I confess, I'm giving to the church, I'm a deacon, I'm a this, I'm a that. They're Italian. It's a spicy and a meatball. Do you all understand? You don't have to impress me. You have to be saved. Can you imagine coming and impressing me, giving thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars, as many of you all have done, and try to impress me? Can you imagine doing all that and then losing your soul because you're too proud to admit that you're lost? What would that be? I mean, see, the power that's working in us has to do with the cross, has to do with not relying on self. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. Well, what would those things of dishonesty be? It would be saying, hey, there's things you're doing that's impressing God. How many people have gone to a religious church? Isn't it really all about you? All of it. I mean, I went to some churches while I was up north. I could not believe what I was hearing. I'm like, I wanted to yell, you guys are, what is going on here? I could see me getting arrested for disturbing peace in the church. Right.
Yeah, the big ushers.
Yeah. They're really bouncers. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God. See, that's where the power is the Word of God. Nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Can I tell you that I'm good? Why? Because I'm not. People act like they're good, and I watch TBN sometimes when they're sitting on these gold chairs. Man, let me tell you, it's all about how great his ministry's going. Man, your ministry's on fire. Well, my ministry ain't on fire. Look at the great things you're doing. I haven't done anything great. I'm a failure at most of the things I do. I watch them sit in those gold chairs, and it's like they're royalty. Not your pastor. He's a worthless piece of scum. That only if it had been not by the blood of Christ, he'd not been saved. That's the only thing that saved me. Look what he says. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Notice the power was to them that what? The power is not to them that believe not. The Ephesians chapter 1. You with me? The power is to them that what? This is to them that which what? Believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine onto them. For we preach not ourselves. What do they preach? But Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commended the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God, of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power. You see this word power keeps coming up here? The excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Why? Hey, listen, I don't want them to see my power. I don't want them to see my failure. I want them to see God's power. What is it? God took a sinful human being, me, saved me by His marvelous grace. Don't you love that? Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpour, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. See, those songs all talk about the true grace. Those people understood the grace of God. God, by His infinite grace, reached down and saved me. And I do not want to testify of anything that Barry has done which has been impressive. Why? Because I want the excellency of the power to be of Him and not of me. That's the power. Say it. I'm nothing. He is everything. He's my life. You see, he's the works, guys. He's all of it. And people ought, you know what? We ought to be able to relax around people. Amen? I see Christians struggling all the time. There shouldn't be any struggle. The gospel is simple. Well, I mean, people, I thought about Steve and Sam left over the fact that I kept saying there's none good, no, not one. Well, what am I supposed to say? After you're a Christian, you're just a charming little... What am I supposed to say? That after you get saved, that now you have the power to live above sin? Well, Paul didn't. I mean, what am I, by law, by God, able to say? And the only thing I can tell you is you weren't any good when you got saved. You're not any good now. And the power, if you have any, is of God and not of you, if you are walking in the Spirit. Now, you can walk in the flesh. You can try to impress me with what you've done. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You see, go back to Ephesians chapter 1. I want to read that verse again. So we talked about the hope of His calling. We talked about the riches of His inheritance last time. Hey, folks, you've got an inheritance equal with Jesus Christ. I'm like, hello? Do you not get that? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. And He wants you to know what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. According to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ. The same power that He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. Hey, folks, He was able to manipulate, change the physical body of the Lord so that it would go up through the rocks. I don't know what that is, but it has to do with quantum physics or something beyond my human. Man, that's power to be able to do that. That is the same kind of power that is working in us. Wayne keeps saying, well, I only have a faith of a mustard seed. You know, it said if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you could move mountains. See, the problem is we really don't believe. And I don't mean we don't believe unto salvation. We just don't really believe that we have this power. Ephesians chapter 3, look at this. Verse 17, Paul's praying that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints. Well, that tells me that not everybody that is saved is comprehending. And neither is everybody that is saved understanding and enjoying the power. See, just because you're saved doesn't mean you're accessing all this that's in you. Just because you're saved, listen, you're not necessarily accessing them. God says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then He says, without faith it's impossible to please Him. For one must believe that He is God, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You gotta believe. Listen, you can be saved and not have the belief beyond that. Listen, I want you to understand that Christians, this New Age stuff, all of that's mainly hokey-pokey stuff. But you know, they have real elements. There is an enlightenment that goes on, and God uses the word enlightenment. Why? Because it's as if you get the knowledge from inside and it starts to work out. There are things in my belief system. I believe that every one of you guys could become millionaires. God doesn't care. But you haven't applied the principles that God has done. You applied the principles that this guy's applied. I believe that in your studies, most people apply the principle that this people try to figure it out, where God said to believe it. See, God didn't say understand the Bible. That's not what God said. God said believe the Word. These people are trying to understand the Word. And when they can't understand it, they just create another version of the Bible. See, there is a power that worketh in you when you finally just relax and believe. I mean, even as a Christian I'm talking. And that power will start to work in your life and you will be invincible. You won't be afraid of death. How many at one time or another found themselves, even as Christians, a little bit afraid of death? You know why? Because we're not relying on the power. We're relying on the thinking of this man over here. Walk not after the flesh, but after the... We fear for our jobs. I know what this feels like. Say, well, how do you know? Listen, when I came here, I left a Kmart management position to come to nothing. I know the struggles. And we started making some stuff, and all of a sudden the church split, and the income went down to nothing again. And finally it got so bad that we had a flood in the back, and we couldn't even use the building for about 8 months. I still had to make the payment, but you know what? The giving got down to zero. Do you realize not a person in this church gave for almost 8 months? Yet the preacher had to make the payment on the building. Yeah, it was rough. And you know what I saw? I saw God bring us through all of it. Just kept working. People kept getting saved. People got excited about the Word of God. And then it's back flourishing again. You know, life isn't an upward, oh boy, or an I. Life is like this. That's what life is. And you know what? When you get that power, when the valleys, it doesn't hurt nearly as bad, you realize God's still doing it. So people said, well, if I was you, I think that'd be a great sign that God's telling you to quit. And I told them, I believe it's a great sign that the devil would have me to quit. See, there's a power that worketh in us. When my son died, I thought I would just hit rock bottom. You know what? I found myself riding on a mountain in the valley. So how can that be? Only the power of God. You can't do it on your own. It's all about Him. Man, when I thought it was my darkest moment, it felt to me inside as if it was victory. So how can that be? I don't know. I just know that it happens. You can't manipulate your way out of all the situations. Sometimes you just have to relax in the Lord. We always are finagling, nipping here to pay this. And amen? Everybody here has done that. But He says, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Wouldn't that be incredible to have to feel the fullness of God inside of you? I can tell you, I have felt that. And they weren't at what I would have thought my pinnacles were. They were always at my valleys. And it reminded me, I know the guy who wrote that Footprints in the Sand knew what I was talking about. And how he must have questioned it too. He said, Lord, I remember when we were walking, there were two footprints in the sand. But there are two sets, and I'm watching them. But when it got to the darkest part of my life, I only saw one footstep. I know what that is. And He says, well, those are the days that I carried you. Those are the days when you finally relaxed and trusted Me, and I carried you. But you know what? In most of our darkest period, there's not only our steps, but we try to get all our friends to help too. Amen? See, I believe that what's inside of us is way beyond any human comprehension. I believe the empowerment of the Holy Ghost inside of us, Christ in us, the hope of glory, is the most powerful thing. And I say that because of verse 20, one of my favorite passages. Now unto Him that is able to do, how much? Exceedingly abundantly. Above what? All that we ask or think, according to the power that what? Folks, listen, I'm trying to tell you that there's a power inside of you. Turn it on. Turn it on. Turn on the power. Let it flow. Start saying, I'm nothing.
I'm nothing.
Boy, am I grateful to God.
Boy, am I grateful to God.
Amen. Listen, if you start to realize where you are and what you are and what you're not, and you know what, we're always trying to impress people. I mean, I can prove it to you. You get a brand new car, what do? You drive it over to your friend and say, hey, I just stopped in my... Oh, did you get a new car? Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I heard a financial consultant one time said he went out and bought a brand new Corvette. And he said the wiles lasted 3 months and the payments lasted 5 years. Lady, I was up in... Sparta, Tennessee, and a lady sat down. I was on the phone with Brenda. She didn't know it because I had this little earpiece. So she's talking to me. She says, I love your car. And I said, yeah, it's a nice car. She said, it's a really nice car. And I said, the nicest thing about that car is it's paid for. She says, what's the big deal of having? There's people that have 5 or 6 cars. You want to be impressed? But when those people that own 5 or 6 cars can say, I'm nothing, that my Savior is everything, they got a little bit of the power. Turn it on. Fire it up. Come on, let me hear you. Fire it up.
Fire it up.
Come on, this is for the Lord, folks. Fire it up.
Fire it up.
Turn the key. You've got the power already. It's not as if you quit sinning, you're going to gain some power. Bless God, you've got the power in you that believe. You that believe have it. Turn it on. Let me tell you what, my life changed the moment my son died. It was one of the greatest events in my life in the sense that I was saved. I'd been saved for a lot of years. But I think I had been relying on self-sufficiency for a long time. And I felt for the first time, I told my dad 2 years ago, and I'll tell you right now today, that if I die today, Barry Hampton feels like he fulfilled the purpose that Christ has called him for. I feel like I'm filled up with the fullness of God. I feel like the power has sustained me to this point in my life. There is nothing I can do that is greater than what God has already done for me.